Weekly jobless claims are holding steady, but at more than 850,000.
Just overall, we're seeing a still high level of layoffs. We're supposed to be in the beginning of an economic recovery, but many businesses, from large hotel chains to big retailers, are still cutting workers. And that's a concern about how durable this recovery can be moving forward.
And New York City, the nation's largest school district, delays in-person instruction again. Plus, have you abandoned your pandemic projects? You're not alone. It's Thursday, September 17th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The nation's largest school district is delaying in-person instruction for a second time. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio made the announcement today after complaints from teachers about school safety and staffing. The city's 1 million students have the option of fully remote learning or a hybrid model that would include some in-person instruction. That was set to begin next Monday, but will now be phased in for most grades starting September 29th. Melody Anastasio, a New York City school teacher and parent, says the last-minute changes are giving families and teachers whiplash.
I think what's really overwhelming for families is planning. If they're not able to be home with their kids, it's who's going to watch their children while they're engaging in their remote learning. For teachers, on the teacher end, it's teachers who were prepared to teach their students in person next week, now all of a sudden have to do their lessons, these in-depth lessons that they had planned for in person. Now they have to switch them to a remote platform. And not all in-person teachers had possibly a remote platform set up.
New York City is one of the few big school districts trying to open for in-person instruction. Other cities like Los Angeles and San Diego say they'll hold all classes remotely this fall. More details on LVMH's scuttled deal to buy U.S. jeweler Tiffany's. Senior French officials say the luxury goods company sought the help of the French government in backing out of the deal and was turned down by the French foreign minister. LVMH denies reaching out to him. Last week, the company said the French government was a driving force behind its decision to abandon the more than $16 billion deal, saying it was being pulled into a trade dispute between France and the U.S. Tiffany's has sued, calling that a pretext for backing out of the deal. And the annual Wall Street Journal Times Higher Education College rankings will be out tonight. From hidden gems to best value options, we'll have all the details. For more, visit WSJ.com and be sure to listen to What's News tomorrow morning. Coming up after the break, why weekly jobless claims are still at historic highs. Initial jobless claims ticked down slightly last week, but that's little consolation when levels remain historically high. A seasonally adjusted 860,000 people filed for benefits, down 33,000 from the week before. The number of people collecting benefits through regular state programs stands at about 12.6 million. For more on what the latest numbers tell us about the economic recovery, we turn now to labor, economics, and policy reporter Eric Morath. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being here.
Sure. Happy to join you.
So let's start with the broader picture here. Overall, weekly jobless claims fell, but still historically high. And the latest claims seem to show that we're hitting something of a plateau here.
Yeah, that's right. Claims remained historically high at over 800,000 last week. That's higher than any level we saw before this year. And what happened was early in the spring, you know, a big spike in jobless claims, and that fell off sharply. And so that gave us some sign that the labor market was recovering. That's really slowed since August. They've just barely creeped down, and some weeks even edged higher. And that's a sign that we're hitting a plateau and really that the labor market recovery is starting to stall a bit.
We're also seeing people switching from state benefits to these emergency benefit programs. Can you tell us a little bit more? This can get a little bit confusing here. What's behind that shift?
Yeah, it definitely is a bit confusing. There's multiple different programs, many which we normally don't talk about, but in this unusual time, we are looking at some of these different programs. So state benefits in most states expire after 26 weeks or 6 months. So we're seeing a decrease in the number of people receiving benefits through that large program. partly that's a good sign. People are getting hired back or being recalled to their jobs. But it's concerning because this other program that provides an additional 13 weeks of benefits to those affected by the pandemic, we're seeing that number climb higher. So it's a bit of a shift from this big state program to what had been, until a couple weeks ago, a fairly small special pandemic program. And now people are moving into that. It suggests that they're unemployed and unemployed for the long term. And we know from economists that that's a big concern, because once you're out of work for 6 months, and as you get closer to a year, it gets much harder to get back into the job market. You lose skills, you lose your connections, and then it's harder to reenter, especially reenter for the same job you lost.
Now, in addition to those emergency programs you just spoke about, we also have a federal extension of enhanced aid. That was $600 a week until the end of July. And then the president signed an executive order to allow $300 a week in enhanced aid. How is that working right now?
Yeah, so states were able to roll that out, 49 states, only South Dakota didn't participate. And so states have rolled out that additional $300. And we got some more details from FEMA on that, who's providing this funding. And they said most all that money now has been authorized, and states have applied it to basically August and the first half of September. So those that were eligible for any of these different unemployment programs were able to get that extra $300. Some will be paid retroactively, but they were able to get that. But now that money is essentially running out.
And at the same time, major companies, we've talked about this, have also announced layoffs with the expiration of their aid from the federal government. And seasonal hiring as well for the summer has mostly ended now. Eric, should we expect this to get worse in the fall?
Yeah, that's a big concern. Of course, the airline industry has been warning for some time and is still lobbying Washington to make changes. But they've been warning for some time that they'll have to make cuts in October when their aid ends. And, you know, seasonal hiring for the summer, of course, that's peeled off. Another source of temporary jobs, the Census Bureau, you know, that's not going to persist throughout the entire year. So there's some concern there. I mean, just overall, we're seeing a still high level of layoffs. We're supposed to be in the beginning of an economic recovery, but many businesses, from large hotel chains to big retailers, are still cutting workers. And that's a concern about how durable this recovery can be moving forward. There is a bright spot. You know, we're already quickly heading in, believe it or not, to the next season. Companies are ramping up for holiday shopping. It's going to be a little different this year. I don't think there'll be as much hiring, certainly at malls, but we're seeing a decent demand for labor in warehouses, among delivery drivers, and also at call centers to help people kind of navigate from home their shopping decisions. So we talked to a large staffing firm, and they say they have 14,000 jobs right now for seasonal workers to fill. And that could be a warehouse job starting around $12 an hour. And they said they have some call center jobs, depending on your experience, that could pay as much as $20 an hour and be done from home.
Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Morath. Eric, thanks so much for joining me.
Sure. Happy to be here.
And finally, earlier in the pandemic, we reported on some back-to-basics fads. People baking their own bread, breaking out the jigsaw puzzles, planting herb and vegetable gardens. Well, as you can imagine, not all of these projects have panned out. These days, there are a lot of dead plants and unfinished puzzles lying around, not to mention the giant bags of flour. Our reporter Valerie Borlein checked in with some of those ambitious hobbyists, and 6 months into the pandemic, they're moving on.
At the beginning, several of the people I talked to just said, look, I was looking for something that was a creative outlet that gave me a sense of control, like I could start and finish a puzzle, and then that was something that I could do and bring order. But now, 6 months in, this is our way of life now, and I don't need that outlet as a way to adjust to it. It's just the way it is.
But Valerie says more pandemic buying is on the way, but now it's for more practical things, like ergonomic desk chairs, gym equipment, and power tools. Do you have an unfinished pandemic project? Tweet us at WSJ Podcast and let us know what it is. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.